The Bible said that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and they use the coordinating conjunction, the word and it says it's also, I believe that you can say in context, that it is a good thing to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So we know that according to the Word of God, that music is and can be a good thing, but we also know in the society that we live in, and also through the Word of God, that music can be a bad thing. Music is important in the Word of God. Music is imperative in the Word of God. Music is inspirational in the Word of God. And the psalmist said that singing praises unto God is a good thing. But we know that through the Word of God and through our cultures that we have seen for many different generations that have existed, that music has been taken and utilized as a tool of the devil. When you begin to look and study the Word of God, in Isaiah we said that the Bible, speaking of Satan there, speaks of his music and the noise of his vowels, the string instruments. And in that we find out, and I believe that if you study Satan and Lucifer, you'll find out that he was part of the leadership of worship through music in the Bible. Very, very good possibility that Lucifer had within him musical instruments that he could utilize and he would lead people. And so what better thing for the devil to utilize than that which he is most good at, and that is to lead people into error in regard to music. We said that music, by definition, is a combination of rhythm and melody of which harmonious sounds and words can be added. We looked at the first mention of musical instruments seen in Genesis 4:21. There was a man there by the name of Jubal, who was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. And his name simply means a string, or to flow, or to lead, and to conduct. That was this man, Jubal. The very first instruments that were used in the Bible were string and wind instruments. We talked last week about the purpose of music. Music is for inspiration. The message is utilized for instruction. And whenever things are in order in the house of God, you will see that many times that spiritual music would precede the presence of God. Why is that? Well, because the purpose of music is praise. And the Bible says that God inhabits, sits down, and dwells in the praise of His people. So the purpose of music, then we talked about the priority of music. How that God does inhabit praise, and that praise, music is praise unto God. The word sing and the word praise many times in the Psalms were interchangeable words. It was meaning and saying the same thing, that we are to praise God through music. We look in the Lamentations chapter 5, the preacher speaking of Jeremiah. One of the reasons that Jeremiah is weeping is because of the fact that he said that the reproach over the people of God has come, and that the young men had ceased from their music. The young men, as a result of sin, had lost their song. And I said last week that that's why it's important to have a song before you ever get up and sing a song. We talked about Psalms chapter 40, verse 1 through 3. We talked about that the Bible said that God had put a new song in our mouths, even praising our God, and he said that many would see that, the praise that was the new song, and that they would fear and they would trust in the Lord. Not that they would hear your song, but they would see your song, and through the sight of that song that you have in your heart, that they would fear and that many would trust in the Lord. So we talked about the priority of music. We talked about the place of music, all the different places in the Bible. The children of Israel singing in the desert. We talked about the songs in our house. We talked about singing in the congregation of the people. We talked about singing the Apostle Paul and Silas singing in the midst of the dungeon. All of the different places. And we said that God has put a song in you, and that singing is praise, and it should be, that it is always in order. This morning, I want to talk to you for a little bit about the power of music. Excuse me, the power of music. Now, I want you to understand something. Many people would have you to believe that music is neutral, or that it is all moral, that it is neither good nor bad. People will try to tell you that music is really irrelevant, that it's neutral, and there's not really anything bad with music, and there's not really anything good with music. And if you talk to people in this world, they'll try to tell you that it's irrelevant, that it really doesn't matter what you listen to, it really doesn't matter the type of music, because everybody has their own style that they like. Some people, there's many different styles and tastes for music in this building. Some people don't like the banjo at all. They can't stand it. Some people don't care much, for bluegrass type instruments. Some people don't care much for the organ. Some people don't like the drum. There are people have many different styles. Some people like that music, the Bob Jones music that makes you sit there and go into a coma. And then some people like stuff that keeps your hand. But people will try to tell you that it's irrelevant, that it's neither good or bad, that music is neutral. Well, I beg to differ with you this morning. Music does affect the makeup of man. God has created man, body, soul, and spirit. And you will find that each aspect of music that makes up music will affect each aspect of the makeup of man. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 23, let's read this verse real quick just to prove my point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So God has made us up of body, soul, and spirit. If music this morning were neutral or amoral or amoral, however you want to pronounce it, if it were neutral this morning, then it would not affect in any way the makeup of man. If music was neither good nor bad, then music would not be able to affect the makeup of man in which God has created. The Bible tells us that God is a musical being. In Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse number 17, the Bible, speaking of God, says that God would sing over his people. Could you imagine what it would be like to hear God sing? But God sings in the Word of God. The Bible says that God would sing over his people. So if God sings, then there must be a certain type of singing in which God is okay with. It can't be neutral. It can't be neither right or wrong. There has to be right, because God does not stand in the middle on anything. He draws straight lines. He draws black lines and divisions. There's no gray area with God. So music is very powerful. Man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. Music is made up of melody, rhythm, and lyrics. The three parts of music. Now, music does not have to have lyrics or words with it to be considered music by definition. But it must have rhythm and it must have melody to be considered music by definition. That is why I said last week about some of the rap music and those types of things. They have no melody to them at all, and by definition, they cannot even fall into this category of music, even though the world has accepted it as such. So melody, rhythm, and lyrics, and each part of music affects a part of the being of man. You would not believe this, but there are people that actually sanction things such as musical therapy, in which that if you have physical problems, emotional problems, different types of problems, there are clinics that you can go to, and they will take you in there, and they will treat you with music alone. And we say that music is neutral. It's really no big deal what kind of music we listen to and what we involve ourselves in. Music has power. The Bible says this, speaking about of music, that we're to speaking to ourselves in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I believe that songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, both speak, all three speak of and to the makeup of man, body, soul, and spirit. Talk about this. What about the melody of music? What is the melody? The melody is the chief theme of a musical composition. It is the tune of a song. You ever hear somebody make the statement about a song that's got a catchy tune? You know, there's songs that I don't, the kids have had games at home. And they'd be playing them, you know, and they got these little music going with them. And my wife caught me in the bathroom. I'd be in there brushing my hair or something. And I mean, I'm just humming and humming these little tunes. I don't have a clue where they come from. But the tune of the music, it is the melody. It's catchy. The melody of music affects the spirit, the attitude of man. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23 that it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. He didn't sing. He wasn't singing to Saul. He's playing a melody upon the harp with his hand. And the Bible said that Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. The melody, the tune of music, affects your spirit. It affects your attitude. It affects your mood. If we were to take a song and begin to play it in here, and it was something that was really calm and really soft and really quiet, you look and see what it does to your mood, to your spirit. It's calming. And it brings your mood into a disposition that you feel mellowed out, if you will, or soft. You say, "Good God, you're crazy." I'm not crazy. Saul was there. David ain't saying a word, but he begins to play, and something about that music, it dealt with the spirit makeup of Saul. David's playing, and the spirit begins to be soothed from the music. Now let me ask you this question. What kind of mood does your music put you in? What kind of spirit and attitude does it cause you to have? What kind of disposition does it cause you to have in your life? Let me say that if there is no melody, there is no music. There must be a tune to it. But music can excite or it can calm the spirit or the attitude. Music can excite or calm the spirit. So the melody, I've got to move quickly, I'm almost out of time. The melody affects the spirit. The rhythm affects the body. We're made up body, soul, and spirit. The rhythm affects the body. Turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 17. The Bible said, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Now, there's a lot of music in this world that sounds like the noise of war. But he said, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing, I do hear. Now, you know the story, and I'm not going to go into all of it. But the noise of people that were singing, that sounded like the noise of war. And the next thing you know, the entire crowd that was down there had their clothes off, and were dancing naked, and the noise of war, I believe, was the singing and the erratic singing that was going on, and erratic rhythm and beating and noise of the music began to take place, and the next thing you know, it was affecting their body. Everybody out there was naked, they're dancing around a golden calf and worshiping an idol. The people of God were doing this. Music affects the body. If there is no rhythm, there is no music. If there is no melody, it's not music by definition. If there's no rhythm, there's no music by definition. Now, you say, well, God, music is neutral. It doesn't affect the body. It's neither good nor bad. Let me give you an illustration. And it won't ever prove out ever again, because once I mention it, people will change the way that they do just by being conscious of it. We come in here on Sunday morning and we take up the offering. And I sit down at the piano and I start playing How Great Thou Art. And these men get the offering place and they start walking through and you watch them. I'm playing this real slow song. Here they go. And 5 minutes later, they make it back up to the front. But we come in on Sunday night, and we start taking up the offering, and I start playing something of me, you know, something that's fast and heavy, and I mean, they're doing this number. I mean, it's no time, and they're like, you say, you're crazy. I'm telling you, music affects your body. It's not a bad thing. If God intended for it too. Music affects the body. Some of the reading and studying that I've done and things, and I don't understand. I've seen some different video clips and things of people that have spoke on the subject of music and bringing in rock music in the house of God and playing it for the people of God. This is no place for that. And I'm very careful what I say and the things that I'll bring up in the house of God about the subject. But there are people that have went to concerts, and there have been certain types of rhythms and beats that have been played at certain decibels and were so loud that their heart would actually skip and beat, and they would actually have some type of experience that they would lose their breath. Even people have lost consciousness through the rhythm of music. But music is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. And God doesn't really care what kind of music we listen to. The rhythm of music. When an erratic rhythm overtakes the song, it will make the song sick. If you have an erratic heartbeat, you're sick. There's something wrong with you. There's going to cause problems in your heart and in your life if your heart is erratic. I know what it's like. A few weeks ago, my heart rhythm was staying about 135, sometimes up at 140. Even laying down on the bed, it was like that. And I'm telling you, I had no energy at all. There was something bad wrong with me because my heartbeat was erratic. And when you get a song that the beat, the rhythm of that music is erratic, there's something spiritually sick about that song. Amen. Different things that I could say. There's certain types of beats that I might go into that affect the rhythm of the heart. They can cause physical weakness. Let me say this real quickly before I move on. That the wrong kinds of rhythm and beat in music, that it promotes sensuality. You don't have to teach these little kids how to dance. You let them get in somewhere, and I mean some kind of music going on, and watch their body movement. It affects them. Rhythm affects the body. The melody, the tune, affects the spirit. The lyrics affect the soul. Let me move quickly. The lyrics affect the soul. The psalmist speaks of the statues. The Word of God, he said, has been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. So the Word of God, he sang them, and they were his songs in his house, in his place of dwelling. The lyrics of a song speak to the very soul and the inner being of a person. People say, they'll make the statement, well, I don't listen to that music to hear the words. I just like the beat and the rhythm. But I'll guarantee you this, you give them a little bit of time of listening to it, and they'll tell you and sing along every single word with that song. You don't have to sit down. Hey, my kids have took scripture and tried to memorize it by putting a tune to it, and they'll remember it. Because the lyrics is what gets inside of you. It is what stays with you. It's what speaks to the soul. They help develop who and what we are and what we think about. So that is the power of music, very simply. The melody affects the spirit. The rhythm affects the body. The lyrics affects the soul. The playing of music. In the Word of God, and I'll move to this point quickly, the Bible speaks of instruments of music. The Bible said in 1 Chronicles 16:42, and with them, Heman and Jeduthun with trumpets and cymbals for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God. The Bible refers to musical instruments as being of God. So these musical instruments, and they were not musical instruments that God made, men made them, but what it's speaking of is they have been dedicated unto God. They have been dedicated for use at the house of God. The Bible speaks of instruments, over 4,000 instruments that David himself alone made. Like that worn and battered and everything else he had going on, there's over 4,000 instruments that David himself had made, the Bible said. There are things in the Bible mention of wind instruments. There's mention of stringed instruments. There's mention of percussion instruments in the Word of God. Now, I know a lot of people have a problem with that, but if you study this Bible, there are many mentions of percussion instruments in the Word of God. String instruments and wind instruments. The playing of music. Let me give you this and I'm done. The practicing of music. The practicing of music. 1 Chronicles 15:22 says, and Shemaiah, chief of the Levites, looked for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. The Bible said in Nehemiah 12:46, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. Now, the Bible said in Psalm 33:3, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice. The practicing of music. Two things and we'll be done. First of all, I want to talk to you for a second about skillful music. The Bible said that there were men in the Word of God that were chosen to do things around the house of God because they were skillful in what they did. They did not start developing their talents because they were chosen, but they were chosen because they had developed their talents. Now there's a big difference. There's a lot of people that would do a lot of things in the church, and they would get real good at it if they were chosen to do it. But the Bible says that these men were chosen because they got real good at it. It's like I heard a preacher put it this way. He said, you can't make the wind blow, and you can't make the Spirit of God move. But he said, you sure can set the sail up just in case he does. And it's the same way with music. The practicing of music. There is nothing wrong with being the best player at whatever instrument or best singer that you can be for the glory of God. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. As a matter of fact, the people that got chosen in the Word of God to lead the music and to lead in worship were the people that had given their self and their talents unto the Lord, and they had become as good as they could possibly be, and they got noticed by the people in charge and were used for God in the house of God. Now some of you, I heard a man say this. There was this great pianist. He was a concert pianist and played all over the world. And this man came up to him after he got done hearing him at a concert. And he walked up and he shook his hand and he said, "That was amazing." He said, "I'm telling you, I would give anything to play the way that you play." And that great concert pianist, you think, would have shook his hand back and said, "Oh, thank you." But he looked the guy in the eye and he said, "No, you wouldn't." And the guy was kind of taken back. He said, "Oh, yes, yes, I would. I'd give anything to play like that." He said, "Oh, no, you wouldn't." He said, "Because when I was 5 years old," he said, "I was taking piano lessons 3 times a week while you was playing." And he said, "When I was in college," he said, "while y'all were out running to town and doing everything the college kids do," he said, "I was spending every free second I had practicing and playing and learning the things that I had done." And he said, "When I became a young adult," he said, "I applied myself." He said, "I got out of college," and he said, "I would spend 6 to 8 hours every day of my life playing and practicing and trying to become skillful." He said, "Don't tell me you'd give anything to play like me, or you would have." These men were used not because they were chosen and they became skillful. They were skillful and they were used. Nothing wrong at all with becoming as good as you can be. Develop your talents. Skillful music is involved in practicing. Let me talk to you for 2 or 3 minutes about systematic music. There's a difference between playing skillfully and playing systematically. So what do you mean by that, Brother Josh? Well, in the Old Testament, many times the Bible says, "And speak to people beginning to sing or to play, and they were as one," the Bible says. So they were playing skillfully and they were directed in together. But there's a difference between practicing and getting good at what you do for the glory of God and arranging music than choreography. Now, what we see in today's music, even in today's Southern gospel music, is nothing more than choreography. It's not that they got real good at what they do. It's entertainment. It's systematic. They know what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. I remember my cousin, the first Southern gospel group that he went to sing with, and he was scared to death for the keys because he told me, he said, "You know, at this certain point in this song, I've been told that I've got to jump off the stage and I've got to start doing this, you know, and singing this and put my hand in the air." They had everything laid out systematically, exactly what they were going to do and when they were going to do it, and that is wicked. Somebody made the statement about this church, "Well, you know, the people are praying out when they're going to raise their hand and when they're going to, we don't do that around here. We want to be skillful and we want to be arranged, but we don't choreograph the music, we don't choreograph." I'm telling you, many times in Southern gospel music, it is nothing more than dancing. They're in step together. They got their hand at the same time. They got their clap down. Everything is systematic choreography. And it's worldly. Has nothing to do with God whatsoever. You should practice and be as good as you can, but not to the point, young people, of acting out worship. Music is praise. I heard a man preaching not too long ago. And he made this statement. He said, I come here in the church the other day and my young people was practicing, and I am trying to be critical because what he said was wrong. He said that my young people were practicing, and he got up and he said, I went in there and shut them down. And I told him, said, sing for one song and get up there and wing it or you'll lose the power of God. Which that he told him. That Bible speaks of skillful music. And I understand there's a ditch on both sides of the road. But we don't act out worship. When you raise your hand, young people in the choir, if you're doing that because somebody else is doing it, now it's not a bad habit. If it's just a habit, a certain place in a song, you know what it says. I understand, but I'm going to tell you something. When we lift our hand, we are lifting it in praise to God, not because the choir director has his hand, not because the little boy behind you or beside you has his hand up, but it is as a result of the words of the music that is speaking to God, something is speaking to your heart, and you lift your hand up in praise to God. We do not have systematic worship. It's skillful. We practice. We pray. We practice. We pray. We should pray some more. And some more. And some more. And when we get up, God blesses order. And through that, we can worship God and lift up the hands. So many things could be said. Bible speaks in Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter 3 had systematic worship. He said, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut and the psaltery and all kinds of music. They probably had a traditional service and then they had a contemporary service with all kinds of music. He said, well, at that time you fall down. They had it all down. And any time you see that going on, it's always worldly. Systematic. The practicing of music. Practice and be as good as you can be, young people. Sing and be as good as you can be. But we're not up here acting. We're not performing. The reason why you pay performers is because they supposedly can do something that you can't. They're performing. They're entertaining. This is not entertainment here. This is not systematic that we've appointed so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. You do this at this time. Worship most of the time is spontaneous. I believe you can plan the worship, prepare the worship, but we don't act it out. So practice. If you have a talent you want to be used in the church, don't wait till somebody asks you to come pray. You get as good as you can, and God will see to it that you get your rightful position. The practicing of music. So many things to be said. We're out of time.